This is the Sue Freeze Show, talking about life, relationships, and achieving.
Do you wonder why you have to feel the things that hurt you? If there's a God who loves you, where is he now? Would you dare to believe that you still have a reason to sing? Cause the pain that you've been feeling, it can't compare to the joy that's coming. So hold on, you gotta wait for the light. Press on and just fight the good fight. Cause the pain that you've been feeling, it's just the dark before the morning.
Here's your host, Sue Freeze.
I'm so grateful to be back with you again today. It's such an exciting day. The weather is so interesting, isn't it? It's very hot one day, and it's cold and rainy another day, and it's just amazing because of the time of year it is and how you just never know what to put on in the morning. It could change so quickly, and times change, so, you know, it's good to have a foundation, something that is stable, something that you can count on. You know, where is the ground and how your roots are planted. It's helpful in this windy time, you know, when the wind comes and can blow you around. It's good to have a firm foundation. So what we're talking about is purpose-driven life, and it's written by Rick Warren, and it's a very popular book. And if you've never heard about it, it's been around for a while, and it's just keeps selling copies because there's so much to this. And we're in chapter 6 right now, so if you're following along, we're in chapter 6. And today, it's Life is a Temporary Assignment. So if you're just tuning in right now, thank you so much for tuning in. If it's your first time, I just want you to know that you can connect with me, and I wish you would. I really would like to hear from you. And how do you do that? You go to Sue Freeze, spelled like fries, one word, .com, and you can connect with me there. You can give me your information so we can connect. You can give me information as far as questions you might have, or maybe thoughts or feelings that you have happened during our show. You know, I just, this last weekend, there's been a lot that's happened in this one last week. It's been a very busy week, probably for you too. We had, you know, break, you know, for the kids and everything recently and everything. So schedules change when the usual routine gets interrupted with a break, right? And we have to figure out what to do during that time, you know. Otherwise, we have school. A lot of the times that's our babysitter, which it's more than that, but it is a babysitter, and there's other things we can accomplish during that time. But then when they're off, we have to figure out what to do, don't we? So this last week, there's been a couple of phenomenal things that have happened, and I want to share them with you because I think that if you missed one of these opportunities, the opportunity will come up again, and I want to promote it now so that when it comes again, you won't miss it next time. And what I'm talking about is Ladies Night Out. The Fish has Ladies Night Out, and so does KKLA. And I was in both of them. I went to both of them. I was blessed enough. I'm not going to use the word lucky. Lucky, it's much better to say blessed, isn't it? You know, I had five things going on, and I, you know, on a time schedule, and everything is here, there, and everywhere. And I had driven so many miles to get from here to there. But anyway, the side note, but sometimes we have to sacrifice in order to get the reward, don't we? And that's the message there, is that sometimes it's difficult, but, you know, we have to be present. We have to attend, because sometimes we can just let things get us down and talk ourselves out of something, and then we miss it. We miss something that we should have been part of. And I am a natural joiner, so understand there are times when we need to say, no, I need to just be still also. But in this case, I'm talking about Ladies Night Out. And I, just by being there when I first got there, I was frantic and frazzled. Had a lot to do, had to set up the booth. And they had placed me, KKLA had made the decision to place me right at the very beginning where the women come and they line up. And it was a huge line. And I'm telling you, it just kept going and going and going. And they had asked if I would sponsor the event and put my name and KKLA on the bags. And they purchased so many bags, they ran out of the bags and the women kept coming. So it was a huge event and it was very exciting. What made it exciting for me was it was very obvious there was a lot of preparation in order to get the right people and to promote, and there was a lot of prayer. The messages from the stage were incredible. Everybody that they brought on there were destined to be on that stage. Amazing stories. You know, I could just see the women in the room be touched in a mighty way. I could see God just touching each person in a different way, and it was wonderful to just experience and be in that room. When I was at my table, and I was talking to these women. You know, being on the radio is you don't get to really touch the people that you're talking to. You are by audio. You're touching the ears like I'm touching yours right now. And hopefully, you know, my prayer is that it's the Lord's words through me, that I'm an open vessel and a light in the darkness, and that I be used for His glory, which is part of the message today, is God's glory, because that's what it's all about. And when I was at the table and I was being able to face-to-face, hand-to-hand, hug-to-hug, greet these women, some of them had been listeners, some of them didn't know about my show, and some of them didn't even listen to KKLA. I don't know, they were word of mouth, but they are going to listen now, which is wonderful that we can, you know, the good news of KKLA, Salem stations, and even in San Diego and up north, you know, because this show is syndicated. I have to remember that I'm syndicated because we go out all up and along the coast in southern and central California. And even down south in San Diego, they have Ladies Night Out, and I attend those too. So I'm just going to remember that also, because they're all amazing. And ladies listening, if you have not attended, please do yourself a favor and attend. And I know how difficult it is to just get your children taken care of for even a couple of hours, let alone a week for break, but for a couple of hours for you to just have some time to focus on you, to just have the Lord be able to touch you where you are, because we so often are givers, aren't we? We give, and sometimes we're given out, and we just need to have replenishment. We need to get replenished. And so this is a way of doing that, to have words spoken into you. When I was at the table and I was meeting these women, and they were all so wonderful, just so warm and friendly and loving, and I asked them, you know, those that said, oh, I like your show and whatnot, I asked them this question. I said, you know, if you listen, you know, what was it about the show that made you continue to listen? And one lady said, she goes, you know, usually I just keep I keep the radio on all the time. I'm listening to the station all the time. And when you're on the radio, I tend to mess up on whatever I'm doing because I get so caught up in what you're talking about that I can't focus on the job or the duty that I'm doing. And so I have to just stop. I have to stop and really listen. She says, you're captivating and what you have to say is helpful. And I'm like, thank you so much, because she encouraged me. You know, I feel that this position I have that the Lord has given me is to inspire and encourage you. But sometimes it's nice to get a little bit back. So thank you for that. And I told her I was going to mention that she said that, and she said that would be okay. But I asked the question, I just said, what can I do to be better? What can I do to even give you more? What can I do? What subject matter would you like to hear and whatnot? And everybody said, let me think about that, because right now I think you're doing a marvelous job. And that was really wonderful to hear, because like I said, I'm on the radio. I can't see your face. I don't, you know, we don't have interaction. It's kind of a one-sided conversation. So I would love to hear from you. So please connect with me on the SueFreeze.com site so that we can, you know, communicate and connect. I love that word, connect. You know, there's a song, and I'm just going to side note this. There's a song that I listen to The Fish all the time, and I listen to Christian music because I think you are what you listen to. You are what you eat. You are who you hang with, right? I mean, this is true. And there was a song that I heard, and it says, good to be alive. And some of the lyrics I want to share with you. And it says, hold on, if the life that we've been given is made beautiful in the living, and the joy that we get brings joy to the heart of the giver, then right here, right now, this is the song I'm singing out. I want to live like there's no tomorrow. I want to love like I'm on borrowed time. It's good to be alive. I won't take it for granted. I won't waste another second. All I want is to give you a life well lived, to say thank you. I want to live like there's no tomorrow, love like I'm on borrowed time. It's good to be alive. And it is good to be alive. You know, there's a saying that I used to believe in, and I've kind of changed my thought process on this, is that we are where we are because we've chosen to be there. And I think for some of you that is true. I think for some of you, you are where you are because you've chosen, whether intentionally or non-intentionally, consciously or subconsciously, you've chosen the path in which you're in right now. The good news is that you don't have to stay down that path. But I have realized that there are things that are happening to you, maybe you, that it's listening right now, that are above and beyond something that you could have controlled in any way. And it wasn't your choice. It wasn't something you did that caused this maybe bad thing to happen to you. And so what I'm going to say is that I'm changing my thought process a little bit on that. But I will say that those of you that are in a place where you can look back and say, it was my decision and my choices that I've made up to this point that's caused me to be where I am right now, the good news is you don't have to stay there. And the other good news is life is a temporary assignment. You know, we don't need to be living for this life here on earth. We need to be living life for eternity. And so I just want you to realize that, because it might change the way you choose your decisions going forward, is to be thinking like that. Life is a temporary assignment. So I'm going to go into chapter 6 on purpose-driven life. If you're tuning in right now, thank you so much for tuning in, and don't turn the dial, because we have some really good things coming up on the show. And you're listening to the Sue Free Show on our flagship station, KKLA 99.5. Thank you, San Diegans, for listening, and up north, the same. Thank you so much for tuning in. I would love it very much if you would share this show with your friends, family, and you can do that by going to Sue Free, spelled like fries, oneword.com, and you can tune into 4 years of podcasts, and there's all kinds of different subject matter and people that I've interviewed and so on. So let's get into this this show. And Lord, remind me how brief my time on earth will be. Remind me that my days are numbered and that my life is fleeing away. This is Psalms 39. And we do need to be reminded sometimes, because you know, we live this life, and I don't know about you, I'm on the second half right now, I'm over 50, I don't know where you are in your life, but our days are numbered, and we don't know how many numbers we have, usually. Now, some of you might have, you know something about how many days you have left on this earth, and for that, I'm both sad and both not sad for you, because you're going to go to a better place. But for those of you that don't know how many days you have left on this earth, do the math for yourself, because sometimes we don't realize that it's not really that many days left. And when you do discover that, you know, on the outskirts, if you give yourself an age that you think you'll go to, or in your family, what is the average age? If you do the numbers, if you do the number game on how many days you have left, it might also change or motivate you to do something more, a little more drastic, a little more than you're doing now. Because we kind of get a little lackadaisical sometimes in our day-to-day because it's another day. But you know what? We don't have that many days on this earth. We do want to make a difference here, I would think, but it is a temporary assignment, and our goal has to be on eternity, doesn't it? The Bible is full of metaphors, we talked about that last week, that teach about the brief, temporary, transient nature of life on earth. The Bible says, "For we were born only yesterday and know nothing, and our days are on earth are but a shadow." To make the best of your life, you must never forget two truths. First, compared with eternity, life is extremely brief. Second, earth is only a temporary residence. Ask God to help you see life on earth as he sees it. It might change your perspective when you do this. David prayed, "Show me, Lord, my life's end and the number of my days. Let me know how fleeting my life is." The Bible repeatedly compares life on earth to temporarily living in a foreign country. This is not your permanent home or final destination. You're passing through, just visiting earth. The Bible uses terms like alien, pilgrim, foreigner, stranger, visitor, and traveler to describe our brief stay on earth. David said, "I am only a foreigner in the land." You know, in California, which I'm a native Californian, many people have moved from other parts of the world to work here in California, but they keep their citizenship with their home country. They are required to carry a visitor registration card, which allows them to work here, even though they aren't citizens. Christians should carry spiritual visitor registration cards to remind us that our citizenship is in heaven, not on this earth. God says his children are to think differently about life from the way unbelievers do. The Bible says their destiny is destruction. Their God is their stomach, and their glory is in their shame. Their mind is set on earthly things, but our citizenship is in heaven, and we eagerly await a Savior from there, the Lord Jesus Christ, Philippians 3:19-20. Real believers understand that there is far more to life than just the few years we live on this planet. Your identity is in eternity, and your homeland is heaven. When you grasp this truth, you will stop worrying about having it all on earth. You know, there was a time in my life, and people say they like my stories, so I talk about my stories because I can relate to my stories, and hopefully some of you can too. But have you ever, you know, really wished for something and thought about things, and then you realize you got it, and it really wasn't that big of a deal? You know, it's like we work really hard, and it's good to have dreams. It's good to have goals. It is really good to do that. But God is saying is to glorify him in all things. It means that, you know, we can think about these temporal things. We can think about things that are just really just for here on this earth, or we can focus on what's ahead. And, you know, I'm really doing some soul searching along these lines myself, because I do a lot. I work hard. I'm accomplishing things, and I feel like that I'm not thinking about being successful anymore. My heart really is in a place of making a difference. I want to make a difference on this earth. I don't want to just be here and be gone and you know, nothing's changed because of my presence. And so I feel like I'm doing that, but I'm not sure. I have to really do some checking and balancing to make sure that in all areas and all aspects of my lives, I am doing what God would want me to do. You know, in other shows I've talked about also, you know, when things come up in the workplace, I say, is there somebody else that could do this job? And God says that sometimes, because he gives each one of us gifts. And we need to be working in our gifts, because there's somebody else he's given the other gifts to. So we can't do everything for everyone all the time. And I've realized that I cannot please everybody, and neither can you. So what we have to do is focus on what God wants us to do and what God created us to do, the gifts that he's empowered and prepared us with, so that we can fulfill his purpose for us on this earth, which is really a cool thing if you think about it. It's really, really an amazing thing. God is very blunt about the danger of living for the here and now and adopting the values, priorities, and lifestyles of the world around us. When we flirt with the temptations of this world, God calls us spiritual adultery. The Bible says, "You adulterous people, don't you know that friendship with the world means enmity against God? Therefore, anyone who chooses to be a friend of the world becomes the enemy of God." That's James 4:4. Imagine if you were asked by your country to be an ambassador to an enemy nation. You would probably have to learn a new language and adapt to some customs and cultural differences in order to be polite and to accomplish your mission. As an ambassador, you would not be able to isolate yourself from the enemy. To fulfill your mission, you would have to have contact and relate to them. But suppose you became so comfortable with this foreign country that you fell in love with it, preferring it to your homeland. Your loyalty and commitment would change. Your role as an ambassador would be compromised. Instead of representing your home country, you would start acting like the enemy. You'd be a traitor. The Bible says we are Christ's ambassadors, 2 Corinthians 5:20. Sadly, many Christians have foolishly concluded that because they live on earth, it's their home. It is not. The Bible is clear. Those who use the things of the world should not become attached to them, for this world, as we know it, will soon pass away, 1 Corinthians. This is very difficult for some, I know, because, you know, we work hard for what we have, and, you know, there's a sense of accomplishment in what we've acquired. I get all that. I so get all that. But we have to understand that we came into this world naked, and we're going to go out just the same way. You know, you can't take it with you. I've heard people say that. You can't take it with you. Yes, we can give it to our children, and you know, as should we, I think, you know, some children aren't deserving, and you know that if by giving it to them, it might be that they would dwindle it away and it wouldn't be going to a good thing, because maybe they have a rebellious spirit or whatever. We have to be good stewards, so we have to make sure that whatever we do, that we're being good stewards with what God has given us, and so we have a responsibility there. In order to keep us from becoming too attached to earth, God allows us to feel a significant amount of discontent and dissatisfaction in life longings that will never be fulfilled on this side of eternity. We're not completely happy here, because we're not supposed to be. I don't really like hearing that, do you? You know, I want to be happy here. How about you? Earth is not our final home. We were created for something much better. It is a serious mistake to assume that God's goal for your life is material prosperity or popular success, as the world defines it. The abundant life has nothing to do with the material abundance, and faithfulness to God does not guarantee success in a career or even in ministry. Never focus on temporary crowns. In God's eyes, the greatest heroes of faith are not those who achieve prosperity, success, and power in this life, but those who treat this life as a temporary assignment and serve faithfully, expecting their promised reward in eternity. The Bible says this about God's Hall of Fame. All these great people died in faith. They did not get the things that God promised his people, but they saw them coming far in the future and were glad. They said they were like visitors and strangers on earth. They were waiting for a better country, a heavenly country. So God is not ashamed to be called their God, because he has prepared a city for them. Point to ponder. This is a quick chapter 6. This world is not my home. I want you to ponder that. Would you ponder that? Because I'm pondering that. Because I think that I've got a little bit too much focus on some things and maybe not on other things. And me personally, I'm just telling you, and I'm being vulnerable and transparent, which is something the ladies shared with me, is that they appreciated my realness on the air. They appreciated that I just, you know, I just said it like it is. And I'm not in a position to pass judgment, nor should we. I'm in a position of just loving and accepting because I think that that's what God has called me to do. You know, there are those that are judgmental. And to those people, I would say that, you know, in the measure in which you judge, you too shall be judged. And I don't know, if I'm going to choose between being judgmental or loving, I'm going to choose loving all the time. I asked my son the other day, I said, Tyson, how could I have been a better mom? Or you know, where is there anything that you would say that I did that I could have done differently? And he said, Mom, you love too much. And I'm like, wow. I'm like, if I can be blamed for anything, I want to be blamed for that. If that could be what, you know, I did wrong, then that's okay. I accept that. I love too much. What does that mean exactly? I'm getting to the bottom of that. Maybe I'll share that on another show. Verse to remember. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen. For what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. 2 Corinthians 4:18. And that has so much to it, doesn't it? You know, in the workplace, I tell people, I believe half what I see and nothing I hear. And it's almost even less than that. I almost don't believe what I see anymore either. Another thing in my workplace, as in a home life, is that whenever there is an issue, we need to be listeners. We need to hear people out. I was at this event and I was at a table of bankers that I know. And the lady that I deal with at my bank, it's a wonderful bank, and I don't think I should promote over the phone, over the radio, but I asked, what is the quality that you like working for this woman for? What is the thing that you think is the most important? Because it's not always about money, it's about what. And these ladies said that this lady always listens, and we feel cared for. We feel that she really, truly, down deep, cares for each one of us. And I think that's so important in the workplace as it is at home. You know, how do you show that you care? You care by being present. You care by listening. You care by wanting to get to know the person and asking questions, those probing questions that are going to help with your relationship. If any of you are having difficulty in your relationship, have faith, have trust in God. Just keep loving. Don't give up. Just keep loving. So we will be back with more of the Sue Free Show right after this brief break, and we will be talking more about the purpose-driven life because we all were born with a purpose. Hi, Sue Freeze, the Termite Lady here. It's been my privilege to serve my community for 32 years as owner of Ecola Termite and Pest Control. Family is one of the most important things in my life, so you can imagine my panic when my little boy, Tyson, stopped breathing for the first time when he was 2 years old. It was the most terrifying thing I'd ever experienced. In an instant, Tyson had become a statistic. 1 in 8 children in California who suffers from life-threatening asthma. Those of you who listen to my radio show understand that I'm not a victim. I'm a mover, I'm a doer, and I'm a believer. And so I did what I had to do. I set out to find out why Tyson was suffering those horrific asthma attacks, and the journey was powerful and illuminating. I learned so much about how asthma attacks can be prevented, how you can make your home a healthier, happier environment, and how you can emerge from challenging situations like this even stronger and more powerful than you ever could imagine. I've shared my family's story in my new book, Learning to Breathe, available now on my website, www.suefreeze.com. If you or someone you love suffers from asthma, this is a book you must read. Please order your copy today. And for more information about effective alternatives to traditional pest control, please call us at Ecola 800-332-2847. We'd love to help you take care of your home and your family too. Learning to Breathe, available now at SueFreeze.com.
They're called the stealth bugs of the insect world, termites, every homeowner's nightmare. But a lot of KKLA listeners don't lose a moment of sleep over termites because of Ecola Termite and Pest Control. They are California's leading ecological alternative termite control company. You see, Ecola gets rid of termites by using family-friendly, poison-free alternatives like Electrogun that seeks out and eliminates the little rascals, microwave process for small areas, and their new Ecola Heat using clean, hot air for entire walls. No embarrassing circus tent over your home. No poison gas, no bagging your food, or moving out for a couple of days. Ecola Termite and Pest Control gets rid of termites effectively and quickly. So, call Ecola. at 877-332-BUGS, 877-332-BUGS. Ecola, powerful termite and pest control as gentle as a butterfly. Ask about their 2-year warranty. Call 877-332-BUGS. You're listening to The Sue Free Show.
Thank you so much, Ecola Termite and Pest Management Services, for sponsoring this show. And if you would like to be a sponsor, please connect with me on the Sue Free, spelled like fries, one word, .com, and we will discuss the possibility of you getting your word out. And I'm sure that what you do is going to be helpful for many. So if you want to spread the word, I'd love to have you be part of our show. I refer always, well, I shouldn't say always, always and never, you know, you're not supposed to say those words. But anyway, most of the time I share from Jesus Calling Sarah Young, and I'm going to read because it kind of goes, like always, right along with what we're doing. Heaven is both present and future. As you walk along your life path, holding my hand, you are already in touch with the essence of heaven, nearness to me. You can also find many hints of heaven along your pathway because the earth is radiantly alive with my presence. Shimmering sunshine awakens your heart, gently reminding you of my brilliant light. Birds and flowers, trees and skies evoke praises to my holy name. Keep your eyes and ears fully open as you journey with me. At the end of your life path is an entrance to heaven. Only I know when you will reach that destination. But I am preparing you for it each step of the way. The absolute certainty of your heavenly home gives you peace and joy to help you along your journey. You know that you will reach your home in my perfect timing, not one moment too soon or too late. Let the hope of heaven encourage you as you walk along the path of life with me. Isn't it amazing that I am talking about a separate book, you know, and the date that I'm pulling up is the date we're on, and this is the message. It's just so God, is it not? It's so God. And here's a couple scriptures that go along with what I just read. But Christ has indeed but raised from the dead the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. For since death came through a man, the resurrection of the dead comes also through a man. For as in Adam all die, so in Christ all will be made alive, but each in his own turn. Christ the first fruits, then, when he comes, those who belong to him. We have this hope as an anchor for the soul, firm and secure. Isn't that wonderful? See, I was talking about our roots firmly planted so that, you know, we don't get thrown around with the wind. And it says, hope as an anchor for the soul, firm and secure. And we need that, don't we? It enters the inner sanctuary behind the curtain. Isn't that awesome? And then I'll read another one in a minute. But I'm going to get into chapter 7. I'm going to jump right into the next chapter, and I probably won't finish because I like this chapter a lot. The reason for everything. You know, when our kids are growing up, what is one question they always ask? I mean, we get so tired of hearing it, right? Do you already know the answer? It's a 3-letter word. Why? 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 You parents that have got little ones or you've gone through that stage, you understand what I'm talking about. It's relentless, isn't it? Why? Why? With these cute little eyes. Why? And, you know, maybe more of us need to be asking that question. Why? But when I ask that question, it's not for me to know. You know, God knows, but it's not for me to know, at least not right now. But when I get heaven, I'm hoping I get all the answers. How about you? Are you hoping you get all the answers that you've had through your entire life? I'm hoping that I get all those answered questions. So the first half of the show, we were talking about chapter 6, and the one question that was left unasked was the question to consider, which is this. Are you ready? How should the fact that life on earth is just a temporary assignment change the way I'm living right now? So if there was no other question that you could ask yourself right now, I guess it would be that one. If we think of life as a temporary assignment, what would change in our life? What would we do different? How would we look at the decisions that are coming our way every minute of every day? What could we do different knowing now that it's a temporary assignment? I'm really going to pay attention to that one because I think I need that. So chapter 7, the reason for everything. Everything comes from God alone. Everything lives by his power, and everything is for his glory. And that's what I was talking about, is that for his glory. Everything is for his glory, not your glory, for his glory. The Lord has made everything for his own purpose. That's Proverbs 16:4. So chapter 7 is saying this: the ultimate goal of the universe is to show the glory of God. So I was reading that, and then my next question was not why, but it was what. What is the glory of God? Do you know what it is? Because I was curious as to what they were going to say. What's the glory of God? What is that? It is who God is. It is the essence of his nature, the weight of his importance, the radiance of his splendor, the demonstration of his power, and the atmosphere of his presence. God's glory is the expression of his goodness and all his other intrinsic eternal qualities. So then the next question is another W word. Where is the glory of God? Just look around. Just look around. Everything created by God reflects his glory in some way. I mean, I saw the most amazing moon recently. I mean, the most amazing moon. It was incredible, and I'm thinking, wow. And a baby, you know, being born. How could we not think there is a God? I mean, it's such a miracle to watch that. We see it everywhere, from the smallest microscopic form of life to the vast Milky Way, from sunsets and stars to storms and seasons. Throughout history, God has revealed his glory to people in different settings. He revealed it first in the Garden of Eden, then to Moses, then in the tabernacle and the temple. In heaven, God's glory provides all the light needed. The Bible says, "The city does not need the sun or the moon to shine on it, for the glory of God gives it light." This book is saying that living for God's glory is the greatest achievement we can accomplish with our lives. So if it is the greatest achievement that we can accomplish, then we have to understand what exactly it is, don't we? God's glory is best seen in Jesus Christ. He, the light of the world, illuminates God's nature. Because of Jesus, we are no longer in the dark about what God is really like. The Bible says the sun is the radiance of God's glory. That's a neat word, isn't it? Radiance. I love that word, radiance. Jesus came to earth so we could fully understand God's glory. The Word became human and lived among us. We saw his glory, a glory full of grace and truth. I'm skimming down to another portion of this, and it says, "But we are commanded to recognize his glory, honor his glory, declare his glory, praise his glory, reflect his glory, and live for his glory." Why? Why? Because God deserves it. Wow, that was easy. God deserves it. Do you agree with that? Do you believe that? We owe him every honor we can possibly give. Since God made all things, he deserves all the glory. The Bible says, "You are worthy, O Lord our God, to receive glory and honor and power, for you created everything." The entire universe, only two of God's creations fail to bring glory to him. Do you know what the two are? Interesting. Are you thinking? I'm going to give you a second. Do, 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 do. Fallen angels, the demons, and us. All sin at its root is failing to give God glory. So I don't know. I guess that would be all of us, because we all fall short. It is loving anything else more than God. Refusing to bring glory to God is prideful rebellion, and it is the sin that caused Satan's fall, and ours too. In different ways, we have all lived for our own glory, not God's. The Bible says all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. How can you bring glory to God? Do you want to know? Jesus told the Father, "I brought glory to you here on earth by doing everything you told me to do." You know, when I was really struggling in my marriage, and I was struggling because I kept screaming and crying out to God. I'd look up and I'd say, "God, just tell me what to do. Tell me what to do and I'll do it." And isn't that true with so many things in life? We just need to know what to do. And so many times in our lives, you know, we were raised and we don't have marriage 101 in school. Maybe I think we should. I think it'd be great for us to get some of those basic things down that we didn't learn, you know, in our family. Because, you know, our families sometimes just don't have all of that together. And so we just do what we think is right. And even if we know it's wrong, it just is familiar. So we end up doing it anyway. Isn't that strange and weird? But it's the truth. So tell me what to do and I'll do it. So he's saying that, you know, doing everything you told me to do. Jesus honored God by fulfilling his purpose on earth. We honor God the same way. When anything in creation fulfills its purpose, it brings glory to God. Birds bring glory to God by flying, chirping, nesting, and doing other bird-like activities that God intended. Even the lowly ant, I like that, you know, being a pest control person and all. Even the lowly ant brings glory to God when it fulfills the purpose it was created for. God made ants to be ants, and he made you to be you. I'm glad he didn't make me to be an ant. How about you? Amazing thing about ants, side note, is that ants carry, like, I don't know what the multiplication is of their weight. It's 10 times, see? Thank you, Roland. 10 times their weight. And that's an amazing thing, isn't it, to think about that. Could you carry 10 times your weight? I know I can't. And they're so little. It's an amazing thing, isn't it? But they were purposed to do that, right? They have a reason for doing that, and so they were given that ability. There are many ways to bring glory to God, but they can be summarized in God's five purposes for your life. I always like these 1 through 5 and 1 through 7, and give me 3 things that I can do, you know, things like that. I love that. How about you? So here they are. I don't know if you need a pen in hand, but if you're just tuning in, I just, a side note is that you're listening to the Sue Free Show on our flagship station, KKLA 99.5. People say, you know, I tuned in and I didn't know who you were, what you were doing, or anything like that. So I've been told I need to tell you that. So there you go. So number one, we bring God glory by worshiping Him. Worship is our first responsibility to God. We worship God by enjoying Him. C.S. Lewis said, in commanding us to glorify Him, God is inviting us to enjoy Him. God wants our worship to be motivated by love, thanksgiving, and delight, not duty. Think about the things you do because you have to, and think about the things you do because you want to. There's a whole different attitude, isn't there? And we're called to do all things for Christ, right? I mean, we need to do everything for Him, you know? But sometimes they're easier to do, aren't they, because we like doing them than other things. Like if I have a choice of, I don't know, an example. I like doing laundry and I like vacuuming and I like being with other people and everything, but some I like better than others. How about you? Worship is far more than praising, singing, and praying to God. Worship is a lifestyle of enjoying God, loving Him, and giving ourselves to be used for His purpose. The Bible says, use your whole body as a tool to do what is right for the glory of God. Your whole body as a tool. Wow, that's a lot right there, isn't it? Let's think about that. So then what you eat, that's part of your body, right? Are you fit? Are you taking good care of the vessel that He gave you? Use your whole body as a tool. First impressions. How are you dressing? Are you, is your hygiene good? Are you making sure that you're doing what you need to do to give the best presentation for being an ambassador of Christ? Use your whole body as a tool to do what is right for the glory of God. That means everything that you have, everything that He's given you, needs to be used for Him. Number two, we bring God glory by loving other believers. Are you loving others? Are you judging others? You know, we bring God glory by loving other believers. I think we bring God glory by loving all people, but loving other believers is really important because you are part of a family. When you were born again, you became part of God's family. Following Christ is not just a matter of believing. It also includes belonging. We all want to belong, don't we? That's why gangs are becoming so big. It's because these children, maybe their parents aren't there, or they're in jail maybe even, and they want to belong somewhere, so they join in a gang. It's very sad, but they want to belong. So it also includes belonging and learning to love the family of God. John wrote, our love for each other proves that we have gone from death to life. Paul said, accept each other just as Christ has accepted you, then God will be glorified. Accept each other. I love that. It is your responsibility to learn how to love as God does, because God is love, and it honors Him. Jesus said, as I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this, all men will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another. Loving one another. I love that. Number three, are you ready? We bring God glory by becoming like Christ. At the very beginning, you know, that's supposed to be our goal, right? Is to glorify God. And so we're giving you the 5 keys to glorify God. We bring God glory by becoming like Christ. Once we are born into God's family, we want us to grow to spiritual maturity. What does that look like? Spiritual maturity is becoming like Jesus in the way we think, feel, and act. You know those bracelets that you have that say, what would Jesus do? That is so good and such an easy reminder that we need to think like Jesus. And what would he do? Would he get angry? Would he lash out? Jesus did get angry. But did he lash out? Did he name call? Did he do the things that some of us do because it's comfortable? Or did he do what God would want him to do by setting the standard and having healthy boundaries? Because I think that's really, truly important. What would Jesus do? And if we ask ourselves that question, a lot of the times we can take a deep breath, count to 10, whatever we need to do to get ourselves back into a frame of mind that's going to be healthy and not painfully hurtful. Spiritual maturity is becoming like Jesus. The more you develop Christ-like character, the more you will bring glory to God. The Bible says, as the Spirit of the Lord works within us, we become more and more like Him and reflect His glory even more. God wants to continue the process of changing your character. So this is a journey, you know. When I realized in my life that my life was not going to end tomorrow and whatever was happening right now, when you're younger, it's like, oh my gosh, this is life and death right now, you know. Oh my goodness, you know, I can't sleep. I can't think about anything else because I just thought it was just life or death. But it wasn't life or death. And the sun came up the next morning and the moon came out and, you know, there was another day and another breath. And what I realized is that, okay, it's okay. It's a journey. And it's not life or death. There are life and death things that happen and we deal with those things and we know what they are head on. But other things that we think are so drastically important, maybe they're not so important. Maybe we put more emphasis on them than needs to be there. And maybe we can just take a deep breath and trust in the Lord and pray and give it up to Him and let Him work things out and watch how He works. And you know what? He's not quick all the time, is He? He doesn't do things in our timing, darn it. You know, impatience, you know. He doesn't do things in our timing, but it's amazing to see. Because when He works, it's for real and it's long term. When we work, sometimes we work and we try to finagle things and make things work to our favor. And it's not as good. It doesn't work out as well than when we put our trust and our faith into Him. I haven't always done this, and I can tell you that. And I can tell you that relying on Him and letting Him work in His timing is much better than us trying to manipulate or make things work out, right? The Bible says, may you always be filled with the fruit of your salvation, those good things that are produced in your life by Jesus Christ, for this will bring much glory and praise to God. Number 4, we bring God glory by serving others with our gifts. Now that's what I was talking about. Sometimes we think we have to do all, be all, you know, and that's not what we're called to do. And sometimes no is the best thing you can say. That was huge for me. I don't know about you. Just to say no, it was huge. This weekend, I offered to take my sister's kids. She had to go out of town, and she's been there, and she's helped me so much that I wanted to spend some time with her kids because I used to be a lot closer to her kids, and I saw them more often than I have lately. And she has one child. Her name is Savannah, and she's 5 years old. And then she has Blakey, who I've known. I mean, he's a beautiful child. And he's now 13, and he's going through that change, you know. And this Xbox thing, you know, I mean, I don't know. I didn't have an Xbox to compete with when I was raising my children. We did have Tetris, and we had Mario Brothers, but we didn't have these killing guys and all of these new things where you can have the headset on and you can be talking to other people that you know, your friends. You can be in different cities, different counties, and you're talking and you're playing this game together from afar. You're in your own room and you get so engrossed. My Blake, I am telling you, this guy, he's so addicted to this game that I couldn't get him to pull away from it at all. And finally I just put my foot down and said, that's enough, I want to talk with you, okay? And so he had to put it down and he wasn't happy with me, but that's okay. You know, and I was talking to Roland about, you know, flying a kite. You know, just the kids nowadays sometimes don't even get to do those things that we did as a child. And when you, you know, help them have these experiences that you can't get on Xbox, by the way, flying a kite, you know, it's an amazing thing. And, you know, it's not an expensive endeavor. and it's outside, so you can feel the sun and get that vitamin D and all those things. But it was amazing to see, you know, I was a mother. I'm still a mother. You're always a mother. Once you're a mother, you're always a mother. Let me correct that. But my kids are grown. They're adults now, and, you know, and they're going to become mothers and fathers and whatnot. But, you know, when you're in that world, it's an amazing world. And when you get out of that world and you can now become grandparents, spoiler kid, grandkids, and give them back, it's a fun place to be. I totally get that. And I'm looking forward to those, to that time. I'm not there yet. But I kind of got an experience of that being with these kids. And, you know, putting my foot down and everything was a lot easier because they weren't my kids. And it was easier to do than when they were my kids, even though I did do that. I was a very consistent parent. And I'm happy about that. And I think it's important because it really helps your children be secure because they know that there are boundaries and it's healthy and wonderful to have those boundaries. But Blake wasn't happy that I pulled him away from that Xbox because he was really on a roll. I don't really like that game, but, you know, it was amazing to watch the animation and everything on there. And who knows what that's going to do? You know, God's preparing him too, and maybe the functionality of his hand and being able to be so quick with, you know, hand-eye coordination and all of that. I don't know. Who knows? Maybe he'll be a game guy, or I don't know. Who knows? I mean, it's going to be fun to watch what God does with his life and Savannah's life. And Savannah and I had some really neat conversations that sometimes, you know, the parents can't have. So having an auntie or a grandparent, it's so wonderful to invest in those little ones. You know, they're so impressionable and it's so wonderful. So if you're tuning in, this is the Sue Free Show, and I'm so happy that you've come on board here with our show. And we're talking from and speaking about the purpose-driven life. And, you know, giving God all the glory in our lives is a really important thing. So we bring God glory by serving others with gifts. So each of us was uniquely designed by God with talents, gifts, skills, and abilities. You're wired. It's not the way you're wired. It's not an accident. You know, he gave you the abilities that you have for his purpose. They were given to benefit others just as others were given abilities for your benefit. The Bible says God has given gifts to each of you from his great variety of spiritual gifts. Manage them well so that God's generosity can flow through you. Are you called to help others? Do it with all the strength and energy that God supplies. Then God will be given glory. And the last one, we bring God glory by telling others about him. The good news, right? God doesn't want his love and purposes kept a secret. Once we know the truth, he expects us to share it with others. This is a great privilege, introducing others to Jesus, helping them discover their purpose, and preparing them for their eternal destiny. The Bible says, as God's grace brings more and more people to Christ, God will receive more and more glory. What will you live for? What do you live for? I haven't finished the chapter, and I'll finish it later, but I'm going to give you this now because we're ending this show. Point to ponder. It's all for him. Verse to remember, for everything comes from God alone. Everything lives by his power, and everything is for his glory. Consider this question. Where in my daily routine can I become more aware of God's glory? And that's all we have for today. And I'm hoping that you be a blessing to someone each and every day, and that you do these points to ponder and think about the choices that you're making every minute of every day. Give God all the glory. Until next week, be a blessing and connect with me. Thank you. God bless.
You've been listening to The Sue Free Show, sponsored by Ecola Termite and Pest Control Services. I want to live like there's no It's that time of the year when bugs multiply like crazy and start looking for a home, your home. Ants, spiders, fleas, earwigs, termites, and a lot of other creepy crawly critters, even rats and other varmints. It's time to call Ecola Termite and Pest Control Services. They offer complete ecological pest control of rodents and insects. Ecola has one-time services, ongoing monthly services, their most popular and economical every other month service, and even quarterly service for occasional pest problems. Ecola keeps rats and mice out and eliminates insects in their nests. It's the most effective way, and their termite control is legendary. So call Ecola today for a free estimate of complete pest control at 877-332-BUGS. No more creepy crawly critters like ants, spiders, fleas, earwigs, termites, rats, and other pests. Call them at 877-332-BUGS. 877-332-BUGS. Ecola, powerful pest control services as gentle as a butterfly. Ask about their 2-year warranty. Call 877-332-BUGS.